Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
And I'd like you to turn to Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, and so on. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Word of God tells us there is a blood covenant. And I want to talk about that blood covenant this morning. I want to say to you that you are a blood covenant people. And I'm hoping this morning to give you some understanding of what that actually means. First of all, the blood covenant, or a blood covenant, is the basis of most religious, primitive religions in the world today. Whether you're in the Middle East or in Africa or wherever you go, you'll find that most primitive religions have a blood covenant. It takes many forms, but a very common one is to take some form of drink, perhaps wine. They cut usually their wrists, the two people making covenant, and it might be two individuals, might be two kings of two tribes bringing their tribes into covenant. Whatever it is, they cut their wrists and drop blood into the drink and mix it. And sometimes they put their wrists together and mix their blood, and then they each drink of that cup of wine or whatever it is with the blood mixed in it. And that's called cutting a covenant. And after they've drunk, their covenant has been sealed. And the purpose of doing this is usually protection, not always, but usually protection, and the protection of the weaker by the stronger person, the stronger tribe, the stronger nation. And it is agreed that no advantages will be taken one of the other, of the two making covenant. It's being done for love, not for any gain. It's not dissolvable, it's binding, it's a covenant that is sacred, and anything one has is usually at the call of the other. Also, of course, in addition to all the blessings, there are usually cursings that go with a covenant, that if you don't obey it, if you break it, then certain things can happen to you. And that's the basis of what a blood covenant is as it's practiced in most religions, primitive religions of the world today. Now, Israel had a blood covenant with Jehovah, and it's a very interesting one. Let's turn to Genesis 17. You'll find it in Genesis 15 too, but this morning we'll just go to Genesis 17. I'd like to read the first 8 verses. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And so it goes on. So this is a very clear covenant that God made with Israel. And basically you'll see there were four aspects to it. First, that they would be fruitful. Secondly, that nations and kings would come out of them. Thirdly, that he is going to give a land that was strange to them, to them to live in. And fourthly, that he would be their God. That was a pretty good covenant that he made with Israel. Now, once again, this covenant was sealed with blood, as is still the custom. On God's side, the shedding of the blood of a substitute. This has been the pattern, of course, right down through God's word. If we turn back to Genesis 15 and verse 9, God said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Five things that Abraham was to take and to sacrifice. And five, of course, what's five stand for? Anyone remember? Grace, that's right. So even back here in the sacrifice, there was grace. Grace in the midst of sacrifice. So there was the sacrifice that Abraham was to take, these animals and birds, and to shed their blood and sacrifice them as a substitute. That was God's side receiving the blood from man through a substitute. And on man's side, you pick that up in Genesis 17 and verse 11. God said, ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant twixt me and you. And verse 14, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So there was blood shed there also. So on two sides we see the covenant was sealed by blood. One side by circumcision, and on the other side by a substitutionary sacrifice. And it's very interesting to see how God's covenant has always been connected with blood. Now, as with the other covenants, there are blessings and cursings with God's covenant with Israel. In Deuteronomy 11, we'll find a statement about that. And we'll read verse 26 to 28. Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. God said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. So there's blessing and cursing depending upon obedience. Now, Israel were therefore a blood covenant people. They were sealed with a seal, with a binding tie. Israel was sealed with blood. That covenant that God made with them was sealed both ways, both sides, with blood. And that shedding of blood was carried on in the tabernacle in the wilderness, in the temple in the land. So right throughout Israel's history, we have this sealing of the covenant continually being repeated by the shedding of blood. Israel were a blood covenant people, with all the conditions of that covenant functioning in their lives. Now, of course, a question which is often asked, has been of me many, many times, why blood? Why does God have to have blood? Why does he want blood? And I think we find the answer in Leviticus 17. And I'm going to read from the Amplified. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. And that says, for the life, the animal soul, is in the blood. And I have given it for you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life which it represents. Let me read that once again. For the life is in the blood, and I have given it for you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life which it represents. Very interesting words. Here we see that it's not because of tradition or form or some profound ceremony that we might carry out, but the condition of God's covenant with us depends upon our joining with him with a blood covenant. God said the life is in the blood, therefore lives can be joined together by blood being joined together, and lives can be poured out by blood being poured out. So there's a whole story in the use of blood. It represents a sacrifice made. If blood's poured out, a sacrifice has been made. If blood is mixed, the life of one is given to the life of another. Two aspects of blood sacrifice. This was the reason that in the Old Testament, every sacrifice made to God had to be pure and perfect, and the priests used to examine those sacrifices to make sure they were pure and clean and without blemish, because that was testifying of the sort of life that Israel was to receive. Atonement blood, making God's people one with him. Now, just quickly, in addition to the promises I've already read you in Genesis, what belonged to the covenant which Israel had with God? There were some great things. First of all, they had the Ten Commandments. Secondly, they had the high priest, the priesthood, and the tabernacle in which they ministered. Thirdly, they had the atonement, and each year they had what was called Atonement Day, when the high priest carried out certain ceremonies. Fourthly, they had the sacrifices and the offerings and the laws governing those sacrifices and offerings. Fifthly, they had the scapegoat. Sixthly, they had worship and the feasts of the Lord, which drew the whole of Israel together at certain times of the year up to the temple in Jerusalem to specifically worship the Lord. All these things belonged to the covenant which Israel had with their God. Now, we haven't time to investigate those points this morning, of course, but it was interesting that that high priest particularly stood between God and the people, maintaining fellowship with God and ensuring the people's protection. All right. What were the benefits of a blood covenanted people? Because there were benefits. Whether they were in Egypt or in the wilderness or in the promised land, there were very real benefits from a blood covenant. Let's see what it did for them when they obeyed. First, there was no sickness. They had physical strength. Secondly, there were no barren wives. Thirdly, no babies died. Fourthly, they lost no soldiers in battle. Fifthly, no allied armies could conquer even one small village of theirs. Next, it gave water and manna to them in the wilderness. Next, it preserved, it gave them divine protection. And lastly, it ensured that they would be multiplied materially. They weren't bad benefits, were they, from that covenant? And all those benefits, when they obeyed the covenant, were Israel's. And you only have to read their history to see that literally that happened to them when they walked in obedience. All of Israel's troubles came upon them because they disobeyed the word of the Lord. They disobeyed the covenant they'd made with God. Today, you are a blood covenant people. That's an important statement. If you are partaking of this communion table, you are a blood covenant people. This table of the Lord, we're going to come to in a moment, represents the blood covenant that Almighty God has made with you personally, individually. And it has with it blessings, the same blessings I've already mentioned. They've never been changed. And it has cursings. Let me read you the Amplified, Romans 3 and verse 24 and 25. Romans 3, verse 24 and 25. All are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by His grace through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus, 25, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by His blood, the cleansing and life giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. So there the Word of God makes it clear that in Christ Jesus, once again, there has been atoning blood shed, the blood of a covenant which enables God, when that blood is on our lives, to pass over and ignore former sins, because He receives our faith in Him and in what He has done to set us free from sin and from its bondage. So now we understand a little bit about blood covenant. We've dealt with it very briefly. And so today, as we come now in a moment to this table, I think it's important that we use the knowledge that we've gained in those few scriptures this morning, that we begin to receive some of the benefits, just the same as Israel had benefits, and receive them when they were obedient. If you haven't been obedient, you can start being obedient from this moment. If you haven't been obedient, right at this second, in your heart, you can say, Lord, I repent of my carelessness, my slothfulness, my backsliding, my disobedience, my sin. I repent of it now, and I come to this table this morning with genuine repentance, receiving the cleansing power of this blood covenant in my life. For God has made a covenant with you. He's made an arrangement. A covenant is an agreement. God's made an agreement with you, an arrangement with you. It's a two-way one. You have to fulfill your part. You have to have faith in what he did. You have to walk in obedience to his word. He will fulfill his part. His part is to impart into you that life which is in him and which he desires with all of his being, I believe, for you to receive and to enjoy. What are some of the benefits? They're yours. Deliverance from the bondage of Egypt for Israel, and Egypt, as we know, is a type of the world. Deliverance from the bondage of this old world system out there. No sickness or disease. No barren wives. No babies dying. No soldiers lost in battle. I'm repeating what Israel had. No powers of the enemy able to even take one outpost of your life. Spiritual food and drink for you. We're going to eat and drink it in a moment, as well as material, physical needs met. Preservation, protection, guidance, supply, and your circumstances multiplied materially. Providing you are obedient and fulfilling the covenant. These promises are all there. If you want to, you can be one of God's people. His resources are yours. It just demands one thing, the fulfilling in your life of the covenant which God has made with you, and which every time you eat and drink of this table, you make with him. It's not a pipe dream. It's not a fairy story. It's not something outside of your reach. Because as we sang earlier, it's not because of your works that these things become yours. It's because of your faith in God and in Christ and in your obedience to the word that he's left you. A word that only does you good and delivers you out of bondage, delivers you out of all the torment of sin and disobedience to God. God only does you good. And all we have to do is obey God. And if we obey God and walk in the beautiful covenant that he's made with us, then we'll know peace. We'll know joy. We'll know satisfaction. We'll know fulfillment in our life. And gradually, as we walk with him, these benefits, some of which I've mentioned this morning, begin to flow in our life, begin to permeate and percolate into every area of our being, until step by step we become transformed and the life of the living God begins to flow in our lives as he transforms us and brings to fulfillment his covenant in our midst. Be God's people this morning. Start appropriating what is yours. Those resources which are so bountiful and which are waiting to be taken. Don't be weak. Be strong. Don't be doubtful. Be faithful. Don't be a person who's slowly falling. Be a person who's quickly rising. Don't be earthy. Be spiritual. It's better. Don't be negative. Be positive. Don't be critical. Be loving. Come out of bondage. You don't have to be in bondage. There's no need to be in the deceit of bondage. Be what God has made you to be, a covenant son or daughter of his. Break loose as you come to this table this morning. Strip that old enemy from you. Strip his deceit and his lies and his bondage from you this morning. You're covenant people. You belong to him. And he's willing to reach out this morning and enable you to break loose from whatever it is you have to break loose of right this morning in his sanctuary as you eat and drink of this beautiful table. You are a blood covenant people. Hallelujah.